God's favor rests. Dear friends in Christ, if the hymns and lessons of this holy day are so filled with motion that we are immediately swept up into all of this journeying and following and coming to see and worship, perhaps I can be forgiven for beginning with a short travelogue of my own, my journey to this sermon. The starting point was a question that haunted me from time to time in the silence between carols and festivities these past 12 days. If the whole world and most of the church firmly believe that the Magi were right there along with the shepherds and the angels and the sheep and the cattle and the donkey and the innkeeper and his wife and Joseph and Mary at the manger in Bethlehem, that is to say, if this is all Christmas, why do we even need a separate Epiphany celebration? What's left to say or hear or see, or to eat or drink for that matter? Although the question forms a scenic spot that would certainly reward some exploring, at this stop, I did not long tarry. For my thoughts soon wandered off again, this time heading in the following direction. Of course, there are plenty of good reasons to celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, but can it still be an Epiphany for you and me? This is, of course, only a slightly modified form of the question, what's left to see or to say? That is, apart from the obvious, the message already so familiar we cherish it as good, but can hardly think of it as news. And in these mental wanderings, for journeying implies a destination, I slowly came to a realization about myself. I realized that I've been celebrating the great festivals of the church year in much the same way as I watch Christmas movies. As I counted down the days of Christmas and began to look forward to Epiphany, I found myself hoping that this one would be a good one. While I was getting myself comfortable and ready for the Epiphany AD 2012 show to begin, I hoped that it would, and longed for it to, even prayed that it would make manifest some new thing for me. Show me something new about my Savior and Lord. Give me some new perspective, both meaningful and memorable. I hoped that when I left the couch after this Epiphany, I would somehow be different, a new man for the new year, that I could learn something about Jesus that would change me. How would he show himself to me this year, I wondered. But a strange thing happened as the credits began to climb the screen on Christmas 2011. There appeared no Epiphany on 34th Street, no ghost of Epiphany past, no Balthazar Scrooge or tiny Epiphany Tim, no Dudley sent from heaven above to help me write this sermon, and no Bing to soothe and encourage me with his melodious dreams of an Epiphany in any color. No, the screen just went black, and the couch began to feel much less comfortable. But when a voice did finally begin to speak, slowly, softly, but sternly, my Epiphany angel was not Gabriel, but Søren. Yes, Søren Kierkegaard. It was a passage I had read several years ago, have often used in class, have always liked, and never once suspected that it was talking about me. The passage is as follows. What a vexation it must have been for the Magi that the scribes who gave them the news they wanted remained quiet in Jerusalem. We are being mocked, the Magi might have thought. For indeed, it is a serious self-contradiction that the scribes should have the knowledge and yet remain still. It is just as serious as if a person knows about Christianity and his own life expresses the opposite. We are tempted to suppose he wishes to fool us, unless we admit that he is only fooling himself. What an epiphany fool I had been. That was made perfectly manifest to me. Before the Lord could show himself to me, it seems, he had to show me something about myself. I wanted to make an epiphany memory when I should have been making Christ manifest to a world that doesn't even know where to look for him. I know, yet here I sit. Epiphany is not a sentimental movie for me to enjoy year after year, hoping against hope each year to find something new in it that I had missed. It's a drama to be acted out in the acts and scenes of my own life. I haven't been given a seat. I've been given a role. And it's not only my newborn Lord and King who's waiting for me to begin to fulfill my role. My neighbor is too. My neighbor who wonders if I've been mocking him or only fooling myself all this time. My neighbor who longs to catch a glimpse of the one with whom I speak daily. My neighbor whose only impressions of our Lord have come from our world's Herods and from scribes like me. He's waiting for someone, anyone, to make manifest for him the one who has come for us all. And now, here it is, Epiphany, the year of our Lord, 2012. I haven't missed it, but I haven't yet fully comprehended it either. For there is more to this day than self-awareness, more even than neighbor awareness. This is still the epiphany of our Lord. And we are still epiphany fools if we spend all our time talking about how far the Magi have come and forget to mention how far the child has come. We have missed the whole point if we think the gifts of Epiphany are the gold and frankincense and myrrh offered to the child and cannot see the gifts of body and blood that the child offers for the life of the world. I am still an Epiphany fool. If I remain here on my couch hoping to get something out of this, when he has come to overwhelm me with his gifts, giving me new things to say and see and hear and, yes, to eat and to drink, drawing me into his own life, not waiting for me to seek him, but calling me to himself and leading me to the Father. So, may the Lord of surprises, who startled the Magi, rippled the Jordan, and delighted the guests with his own mysterious vintage, reveal himself to you this Epiphany in ways you couldn't have anticipated. And may he surprise you again with who he is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.